that's the operator's.
Yeah.
The operator's for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, and the lake was pretty choppy.
Yeah, it was kind of breezy yesterday.
Yeah, the lake was choppy and we were going against the...
We stay on the shore?
No,
we were out in the water.
Oh, you mean by the shoreline? Yeah. We didn't.
You go out in the open water.
We got out in the open water some.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
Well.
And then we came back towards the shore.
Then we got back towards the shore.
But yeah, yesterday was probably a little windy.
It was windy.
We didn't go until the afternoon because I had to work in the morning, so I got off work at noon. It was a good experience.
Lots of places to canoe.
Well, Debbie wants to go in shallower water, which I could
But you would get a creek, so you go to Pigeon Creek.
Yeah. Pigeon Creek.
The main one.
Do you guys close it out?
Oh, yeah.
How
are you doing?
Good.
I'm so good. I'll have to do something.
Yeah. You can burn our bodies.
Trustees meeting.
Well, that's the common.
Second Monday, is that what it is?
I can't show people that. I could, but it
would be. We'll forgive you one time.
I don't know how to close it.
You're good.
All right.
Thank you.
closed on Monday and Tuesday.
Oh.
Wednesday and Tuesday is the Mount Tribe local and Thursday.
Oh.
Trustee meeting is for the following Monday. Oh, the following Monday. Not tomorrow. Next week. Well, hopefully I'll take it back. I'm sure it's
Sunday. So we're going to go somewhere.
Oh, we were going.
We're already gone.
Oh, okay.
Whoops. Oh, Sunday's
over.
It's all
over.
All
no
over.
Music.
Bring it by. No music.
How was your
done?
Hey, Derek. He's still whining about it. He's still whining.
Well, it was real pretty last week.
It's different colors now.
Is there more browns?
It's red. Kind of pink.
Yeah, I think I heard that one.
Swollen.
Still swollen.
You gonna get a little wider seat for your bike now?
Well, what about that?
No, it wasn't a seat. He went forward in that middle thing. Oh. She went this way. Don't look at me. He's gonna last about 10 minutes in there.
Yeah.
I don't know why
you're not gonna play. I might have to go grab him. Do something about him, too.
I have.
Did you body dreams?
No.
Close.
Do you want the job?
No. I do it once, I've gotta do it again.
Us too.
Jenny Wilcox is in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went back there, but he's.
He's gone back before. I don't know what it was today, but he just decided to
win. Do you
want to
do it today?
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing? I'm
oh, they passed the sheet.
It's
different than the
sheet.
There's quite a few people in
the front. Good beer, how's your leg?
It's swollen like this big, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's so swollen.
I keep asking if anybody wants to rub it, and nobody does.
I got an infection. Did you cut it or something and got an infection that way? Did you cut yourself and get an infection that way? Or what? My blood's not going back to my heart. That's probably what I'm going to have. Oh, come on, I can't tell my mom.
Oh, I know.
Thank you. You know when it's time to fight.
Songs that are way older than I am, or songs that are just written last year, that day.
I should have seen the curse.
Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the breath of life that you've given us. And it's our prayer, each breath that you give us, that we use it to explore your glory. God, we pray the songs we sing, the words we speak, and the words we listen to, God, we pray, they're more than just words. And bless our time spent with each other, this message of our God's spirit. Pray that you will be so good and all. It's your name, Lord. Amen. Let's stand as we sing out. Sing to God.
guys.
What's going
on?
Awesome. I don't know if the speakers got turned or what, but we can't hear him at all.
Somebody touched me.
Yeah.
I want to. I showed up.
These are like this on this mix.
So which mix are we on? So I mix one, which is both the instruments. So she probably not hear them all. So the hit mix one, now we're back in
here. I give him the microphone.
See, he's got only his microphone. That's the green.
Somebody disconnected. So
Good morning, at 5:30 is the youth group, and then Tuesday, 5:00 is the tribal dinner. And in my hand here, I have a sign-up sheet for that. So we'd love for you, if you're going to attend, to go ahead and sign up for that. Once you've got here, I'll bring your wife out there to the sign-up sheet area. That's a great option. We just don't need you to do that, so they get a count. Some of the other announcements we have coming up are the area men's fish fry. I'll be here at Pleasant View, August 21st at 6 o'clock. I think we have all the fish we need for that. The Best Years Days, and that's going to be on, I think, James Christian Assembly. Betty Gray is the speaker. It's from 12 to 5, costs us $20. And we have the dinner theater coming up, the Leaps of Faith Ballet, and the sign-up sheet. And that's going to be here at the church on Thursday nights, and then there's going to be a sign-up sheet. Anybody that's been involved in that, what a ministry that has turned out to be. Where they come here, we open up our church to the young ladies and young men that just have an opportunity to dance in a way that glorifies God. And Julie just does an awesome job, brings a message that day. So, and next week, we are going to have Shannon, who's going to be here from the Turning Point Shelter, give them a quick presentation on what that means here. And that's also a mission that we support here in the church. And it's something that's been personal to our life group, and so we had the opportunity to go over there and speak into their hearts once a month. So, make sure you fill out your connect card if you're here with us the first time. Stop having the visitors that we have a gift for you. And after service today, we're going to have a special prayer. Let's see here. But we're going to bring Tammy. She has her surgery Wednesday, and we're going to just pray over her as a congregation this day. So be thinking of that. And I think that's about it for right now. So let's go to prayer. We just thank you, Father God, for this day that you've given us. And we just bring you the praise of the Lord for all you've done in our lives. And we just give you thanks. You're the one that created us and brought us together, formed this church that we can be as one body, just lifting you up. Be with the worship team as they continue to lift up your praising Lord in their songs and their talents. And be with Al today as he brings us the message of God that's been written in his heart to share with us. And we just pray if there's anybody here today that's outside of prayer. We need to make a decision. Let this be the day. But most importantly, Lord, we just pray that we take the love that we see here in Pleasantview and we take it outside of the walls of this church. And just give that away just as you gave to us so freely. So others can experience your love. It's in Jesus' name.
Stands and continues to worship.
Be thou my shield. that makes my hand on that bow the exact same every time. And then come through, and now I got an angle. The knuckle is right at the bottom of my ear joint, of my jaw joint. Okay. You say, boy, that seems pretty crazy just to shoot something. But here's what it is. I choose things in my life that keeps me close to God. Because I have a hard time following that straight arrow. So what I want you to look at today is your life. And I call this the startup. So how's your startup? When you start up, are you dedicated? When you start up, do you have your target in mind? Is that target heaven? And when you do have that target in mind, are you willing to do everything you can to reach that target? No matter what kind of aid you have to put on, are you willing to do it time and time and time again, every day? Well, we're all human. We miss that target, don't we? Sometimes we don't use the feet set. Sometimes our anchor may be off. Sometimes we just don't aim quite right. That's what communion is all about. When communion comes, we get a chance to restart. We can line ourselves back up again. We can pick our target, make sure that we're going to try to hit that mark. And no matter what it takes for you individually, no matter what it takes, you use what you need to use to obtain that target. Your wife can't tell you, your husband can't tell you, your son can't tell you, your daughter can't tell you, your friends, your brother, your sister, nobody else can tell you. This is my bow. I have to have this to hit my target. So pick out your bow and get your starting point and try to make that starting point every day of your life to hit that target, which is heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today and thank you, Lord, for the way you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get a restart. We know we do things wrong. We know we mess up, Lord. And we just thank you for the time of communion that we can give that whole strength to God. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who shed his precious blood. Our sins can be forgotten as far as the east is from the west. Father, it's something so dear to our heart that we need to make a restart every day and do everything in our power to gain that target, which is heaven. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit would continue to guide us and correct us and lead us, that we would know when we need to make that restart and get rid of something more than put itself. Father, we pray this time that we look to you and get the restart. Jesus made her arms look possible. That night was in the bathroom. When he was there in the upper room. And he even knew he was going to be deceived. But yet he knew he was going to have the target. He knew he was going to have the target. And that was the target that God set for him. He was going to have to go through hell. And then he was going to have to go to heaven. So what a better Savior can we look at today? And when he told his disciples that night, take this bread every time you eat it. Think of me, because this is my body that was broken for you. It's in the same. He then took the cup, passed it, blessed it, told his disciples, this is the blood of the New Testament, which I'm going to share for you. Every time you do that, thank you. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for our gifts. We thank you for all the blessings we have. For we truly are blessed. Father, we just pray that you bless this time for the gospel. Some of that takes to make this church a church. But all pay for those people. All those groups that are for all of our knowledge. Father, we just pray that we continue to give diligently. You told us we cannot give you. We found that that's the truth. So thank you, Lord, for blessing us once more. For the rest of our lives.
Personally, have spoken in my life. It's not by what you've said, but by the actions you've done. The way you've loved this church, I watch that. I watch you love your families and love your wives. And you spoke into my heart that way. And today is an honor for me that I get to introduce someone that's also had an opportunity to do that. And not only has he done it for me, but he's done it for so many other people in the church here and continues to do. I know he inspires and works with Eric and just encourages Eric, and their relationship is just an awesome, awesome thing. And he speaks into my heart, and he speaks into Stephen's heart, and he speaks into so many people in his church that he just has a connection with. And he told me this morning, with God, there's no coincidences. I think they're just God's way of showing how powerful he is. It was 4 years ago this weekend that Al turned over his legacy that he had in the church and passed it on to a new minister. And it's today, and we didn't know it was today, but so it's going to be an awesome thing this morning that we get to listen to Al preach to us this morning on something that is just always inevitable, and that's change. And with that, I'd like to have a good friend of mine come up and share the message that God's been on his heart with us today.
Well, you didn't make it any easier for me. It's It's good to be here, and I look forward to sharing. This is going to be interesting. But the last several weeks, my wife, Pat, and I, and she's here in the audience for a bit, we've been taking care of our grandkids. We live with them, but their mom and dad were overseas in Russia, Poland, Belarus, and that's always a challenge when they're gone for various reasons. So one grandson ended up in emergency, and other grandson was at the camp, and a carpet ball bomb stuck in him in the eye, and Jennifer saved his life. It's been an interesting few weeks, and they came back Friday, and we all went, so it's good to hear you today. And, yes, 1,459 days since I last stood up here and shared with you, and I'm glad to be able to do it again. Well, what's our life? What's life in here? I was talking to somebody just out in the hall, and we discussed that a little bit. How it just zips by. Pat and I, along with a number of our family, were up in the Detroit area a few weeks back for a celebration of life service. My daughter-in-law's mother-in-law, who lived in the Detroit area, died. She was 79 years old. She had a stroke and did not really recover from that stroke. And during the service, the preacher stood up and did this. Oh. Did I get you? What's our life? Is it me? Over in the book of James, we read about that. James chapter 4, it says, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Just like vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. And when we're in our 30s and 40s, we don't think too much about that unless something drastic or really bad occurs in our lives. But life moves on fast. I get these Facebook things that says so-and-so's birthday. Do you ever get those, so-and-so's birthday today? And I go and I don't post on Facebook, because I don't want the world to know what I'm doing. But I do message on Facebook. And so when that comes up, I go back and sure enough, it shows what I sent last year. And I'm looking, it's their birthday already? I just did that 2 weeks ago, Seems like it anyway. But from my perspective, I'm understanding more and more what James meant when he said that. Their lives are living. It's going by fast. As we get older, the importance of some things change. The fellow John Claypool, who wrote about an incident that occurred in his life, he said, years ago a thunderstorm blew through a southern Kentucky farm where the Claypool family had lived for six generations. It blew over an old pear tree that had been there as long as anyone could remember. His grandfather was grieving about the loss of the tree. He'd climbed that tree when he was just a little boy. He'd eaten from that tree all his life. Neighbor came by and said, hey, Doc, I'm really sorry to see your pear tree blown down. My grandfather said, well, I'm sorry too. It was a real part of my life. The neighbor said, well, what do you want to do? The grandfather paused for a long moment and said, I'm going to pick the fruit and burn it aside. That's a wise way of looking at the past, is it not? We need to pick its fruit. We need to learn the lessons from the past. Someone said amnesia is a sickness, not an asset. But having to learn what the past can teach us is really important. We need to pick the fruit and sort of burn what's left and move on. We need to move ahead. And all the time recognizing that we're leaving a legacy. We all are leaving a legacy. What's our legacy? I want to share four principles as we look at that today. First of all, change is a constant reality. Change happens all the time. I'm not talking about the change in your pocketbook. I'm talking about this change. We all deal with change. 20 years ago, in 1997, interest rates were 8.75%. The average income in the U.S. was $24,350. The average price for a new car, to get this, was $10,305. Back then, you need to clearly label your VHS team so no one would take over it before you understand the lot. By the way, some of you don't know this is what a VHS looks like. They never seen one. There it is. By the way, when I saw that they were going out, I happened to be at Walmart one day and I saw VHS players, $29. I bought two of them. So I just looked like my old tankers. We look at that and back 20 years ago, you check your email, if you had one, every few days, and you'd be excited about getting something. A new email from a friend, right? Well, now I go to my email and I try to delete all these things that are sent to me. You know, I unsubscribe. I didn't subscribe in the first place, but I keep unsubscribing. It just goes up. A little while back, my wife had over 10,000 emails in her box. Because she hadn't had chats on them for a while, obviously. I saved all my files on a floppy disk. Do you remember those things? Okay. Well, I can put all of my files in my computer like this. Okay. Things have changed. And some changes are good. Some changes aren't so good. I don't feel that old, but increasingly I realize that I'm not as young as I used to be. As most of you who were here when I was here, I used to go trying to play basketball. I did that until I was 76 and a half. And I'd still be doing it in Fort Wayne if I could find a place to put up with me. But anyhow, they won't put up with me now. But we think of the old good old days, don't we? As we get older, we look back and we refresh on some good things that were there. At the same time, I realized the importance of being involved today. In a local church. The church has changed. I am overdressed with the church I attend. Okay? And that's okay. That's okay. I think that Jeff was there one time and he was doing some very different things. It was an adjustment, you know? But it's a lovely place. It's a place that cares about people. It's a place that, 7 weeks in a row, just so last week was baptism and reading. It's a place that is inviting people to come to know the Lord and change their lives. I'm not opposed to change, don't get me wrong. For years, I used to buy a USA Today every week there. Well, I could count up how much money that cost me. But now I can read my news on my cell phone, which I left in my car, by the way. And I can read my email, and I can read my Bible. I do every morning. I read my Bible on my cell phone. That may sound crazy, but I'm thinking about how much money I've saved with not buying a newspaper every day, because I can read the newspaper every day. Yeah. When Scott and Carmen were overseas the last few weeks, and their little one got a little eye situation, his brother texted him, and I got a little upset about that because I hadn't had a chance to tell my parents. And I may have lost a little bit of that. But anyhow, and then we could even see one another as we talked on the phone. Makes a change. Too many folk are crippled by the way we always did it, you know? The way we always did it. They find the security in sameness rather than the Savior. That's the problem. The Lord is where our security is from. Over 30 years ago, the vice president of a major employer in the city we lived in, who was a trustee in the church that I served, told me, he said, I don't want any change in the church. I have too many changes in my business. Well, I told him, you know, it's only the Lord who is the change. He's the same yesterday. We all change. I'm not the guy I was back in high school days in the 50s. Well, that's 1950s, not 1850s. But, you know, we love to reminisce, and we focus on things, and we tend to resist change because we like the status quo. We want everything the same. All of this includes. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. We need to forget some things. We need to move on. Certainly, we have to learn to live for our Lord in the here and now, in the present. Certainly, God's truth is unchanging. A lot of things change, but the one thing that it doesn't change. We stand on the Word of God. It doesn't change. And it's a foundation that gives us stability when everything else around us is changing. We take our stand on the Word of God. There's some slogans from the heritage, historically, of this incarnation, where it comes from. Okay? One of those is, where the scriptures speak, we speak. Where the scriptures are silent, we're silent. We just want to speak what the Word says and stand on it. Another slogan was, the essentials unity and non-essentials freedom and all things love. There's some things that are essential, some things that never will change. But there are other things about methods, approaches, human-made traditions do change. When I came here, there was a pulpit. Remember those? And evidently, it had been not here for a while. And somebody put it back. And I won't tell you who moved it. But it wasn't here. Hope it isn't in the scripture, is it? No. So, a lot of things do change. And we age. But does age mean wisdom? Not always. Sometimes we get older and it's crankier, right? Wisdom, what is wisdom? It's seeing things from God's point of view. How does God see this situation? That's wisdom. We need to be wise. We should not just get older. We need to learn wisdom, correct? And we must learn to be uncomfortable in the world around us if we're going to make a difference. I heard people say, well, we've never done it that way before. That's true. But it can be a death declaration. Find your comfort in Christ and in His love. Death changes constantly. But the church is different from the culture. It's a different entity. It's a place of unusual concern for one another. In your bulletin today, there's an insert. And it talks about together. The church is where we do things together. We are knit together. We suffer together. We rejoice together. We weep with one another. We love one another. And so on. But there's no such thing as just being an individual Christian. We aren't to focus on me. Alright? We're focused on Him and His people. We're a family. A family of God. That song, you know, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Well, we rejoice in that. The church is a place of unconditional love. Colossians, it says, we once were alienated from God, we were His enemies. But God reconciled us to His Son and brought us back to Him. And if God can relate to me in spite of the immense differences, I'm certainly limited. He is He is the creator. I'm just part of the creation. If he can relate to me, how do you do that? All of all that is this one. He gave his son who died for us. And so we come to the church and we find a place of understanding acceptance as well. Unconditional love, yes. And we accept one another. Acceptance is really active love. We can't give up on one another until God does, and God will not give up on us. We sometimes give up on ourselves. We sometimes give up on others, but God doesn't. God still cares. And some amazing things happen when you don't give up on someone. When you continue to show Christ's care and love for them. Or, I can relate to this a little bit because when I played basketball at Triumph, when I first got there, the language you could cut pretty well. You know what I mean? And I didn't preach to them or anything. But as I played basketball with them and I was guarding a guy, something was said, I said, oh, you know him too. And after over 6 years of playing there, the language had changed to a great degree. And I heard later on, I mean several years later, a guy here in Angola told me, he said, you know, so-and-so really misses you. And I thought, really? Because he was rather, you know. But as they are around us, if we're really showing forth the Lord in our life, it'll help to change them too. So the church is different from culture. And the mature of us need to set the tone. Over in the book of Titus, in the second chapter, we read about this. I'm just going to read the first few verses of it. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men, starting to be here, are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what it is. Okay? It's talking about lifestyle. Lifestyle needs to match what we believe. And we need the right belief. We also need the right behavior, the right response to that belief. Paul gave instructions to four groups really in this passage. I'm going to look at the first two for older men, older women, and they talk about young men, and then slaves. But each group had a role. Let's look at the older ones. Okay? How about men? Four qualities. First of all, exercise self-control. Old age tends to magnify our character qualities, does it not? If we tend to get angry in our younger age, in old age, we're pretty grouchy. Okay. If we tend to be shy when we're young, in old age we can become a recluse. If we tend to have strong opinions as we're young, in old age we can be very opinionated. Let's be honest about that. We need a lifestyle that's not excessive or rash in any area. Secondly, we're to live worthy of respect. It might mean having a good sense of humor, along with being serious about life in general. And we need more folk who will take life and God seriously, but not take themselves too seriously. You see the difference? And then we're to live life wisely, it says. This refers to one who keeps their passions under control. The word in the original language literally means safe-minded. It means to think clearly enough to control your passions. I've been reading through the Old Testament recently. I'm in Ezra right now. I just finished 2 Chronicles and 1 Second Chronicles in that area. And it's amazing. As you read the Old Testament, how many leaders there were who followed the Lord in their younger days and failed in the second half. Noah got drunk, David committed adultery, Solomon flirted with false ideas, the kings let power go to their head. So many of the kings did some really good things and then As they got older, they blew it. They forgot. And they suffered the consequences. And the fourth thing is, men were to be strong, in other words, in good shape, in three critical areas of Christian life: faith, love, and perseverance. Our faith needs to be strong, our love needs to be authentic and genuine, and we should persevere. We should keep on keeping on. He speaks then to the women. And he uses a word here: women likewise are similarly. That they're to become, what they become is to resemble what he's told about the older men. And they have a role. The role of women here is to live appropriate to serving the Lord. Living like people whose lives are devoted to the Lord and serving Him. And avoid the negative qualities. Face the issues and the problems. Don't seek to escape in some way. Don't stand outside the havoc and create more havoc with gossip. You know, teach others what is good through words and actions. And train the younger women. Let them know what it means to be a wife, to be a mom. How to love their husbands and children. Be kind to their children. Respect their husbands. Help them to understand their role as they serve. Finally, every Christian is entrusted with ministry. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. You have a priesthood of believers. Okay? So Peter says. And what is ministry? Ministry is meeting a need in the name of Christ. If there's a need, whatever that need is, and you can meet it in the name of Christ, you're in ministry. You're ministering at that point. You can do it in your work. You can do it in your associations with people, in your family, and certainly in the church family as well. We all are to be ministers. And we all have different gifts and abilities and passions, a different DNA, and so on. The Lord uses unique people. You don't have to be a cookie-cutter Christian, okay? He uses every Christian. Everyone who will allow Him to flow through their life. And so as we are serving, we're concerned for one another. We care about one another. Older Christians, we're to model what God wants the next generation to become so we can continue to learn. And so we're sort of, we have a grandparent role. I live with four grandkids, okay? And their parents. My wife is with us. Really. And that's a challenge at times, I must admit. But it's also a joy. It's a privilege. If you're older in the faith, you have a joy and a privilege in working with and sharing with those who are younger. We need to do what we can. We can certainly pray. Do you pray? Go through the church homebook. Just start the first name and just pray for them. Go through the book. Use that in your prayer time. Take one or two names of you and pray for them. What would happen? What would happen in your life and in the life of the church? You know, God will bless. Give financially the Lord's work. Send encouraging letters, cards, emails. I can't tell you, my wife does a great job of that. Okay. Always concerned for others. And let them know of your concern. Invite people over to your house. You know, maybe it's for dessert. Maybe it's for lunch. I know in the church that we go to in Fort Wayne, and it's a very contemporary situation. If we meet someone who's there, maybe it's their first or second time there, we get acquainted with them, say, hey, you want to catch lunch? Because we want to let them know that they're loved and they're welcome. And if you're older, allow others to serve you too. There are opportunities for that. Two of the best tools that you have, you know what they are? Your ears and your mouth. How do you use them? Says in James, my dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Sometimes you get that confused. We're quick to speak and slow to listen, and we get angry just like that. Let's do it the way God wants it. You may share with younger people, tell about your experiences with the Lord, share your wisdom you have about Him, wisdom about marriage, about overcoming difficulties, wisdom about raising children, wisdom in doing God's work, wisdom in helping them solve problems. In other words, live out God's love. In that insert, notice what some of those things say. It says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. If you love them. Now that doesn't mean you approve of everything they say or do. But you love them. You care about them. You want God's best for them. He goes on to say, love each other with genuine affliction. Affection. Love it. Live in harmony with each other. Enjoy the company of ordinary meek people. Don't condemn each other. Try to build each other up. Serve one another in love. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. We all have faults, not just appropriate. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Try to do good to each other. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. I suggested you take the church directory and prayer book. Well, take that little book, insert. And each week try to do one of those things. Focus on one of those things. Our lifestyle should communicate this. If you come here to Pleasant View, we're going to love you. We're going to let you know the God loves you. We're going to care about you. We're going to embrace you. Agape, the basic word in the New Testament for love, is a volitional commitment that motivates us to act on behalf of others. It says in Scripture, in Romans 8, that we're destined to be conformed to the image of the Son. Change is constant. The church is different from the culture. The mature need to set the pattern, the tone, and every Christian is a minister. In other words, don't conform to the pattern of this world, as Romans 12 says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might then know. Be able to test and prove what God's will is. Good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's right. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us unconditionally. I thank you, Father, that you've given us your word as a foundation for life. Father, where we misstep and where we fail, just forgive us for that. Help us to refocus. And help us who are older to just look to those who are younger and let them know that we care about them. And we want them to know of your love. We want them one day to be able to rejoice with us as we are with you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Nothing compares. it'll always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. The light of the world forever brings. My heart will change, no other name. Jesus, my heart will change, no other name. Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus. And so, I run into your arms, I run into your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever brings. Light into your eyes, I run into your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever brings.
I want to thank you, Al, for the message you brought us this morning. I'd like for you to come up here too. I'm also real humbled, and I've been to his church, and it's kind of set in an industrial commercial area of Fort Wayne, and if you go by that, you wouldn't think it was a church. And I went down to one of his Russian ministry outreach meetings that he had there. You walk in, and there's the stage, and it's the show. It's got the lights, it's got the electric instruments, it's got it all. And you look around, there's no pews in the church, there's round tables. On one side, you can take your coffee in there. The other side is chairs. And I said, where does the minister preach? And the minister preaches in the center of all that, in the middle. And I had a chance to meet the minister there. And he said, well, you get to see the good side and the bad side of you when he's preaching. Because no matter where you're at, he's going to see you something. And he said, well, I'm not sure there's really a good side about me doing that. And I watched Pat. I had a chance to speak with Pat. And I said, Pat, you're a traditionalist. And I can't picture you here. And she said, Jeff, it was a struggle in the beginning. But when she saw the love of that church, it became very easy for her. And so that's an awesome testimony. And not only to that, but when I saw their life group, a picture of their Facebook on their life group, and I think they started at 18 years old, and they move up to whatever. And I was sure. And you know, that's the testimony. Not only did Al preach it, but him and Pat lived. And that's the way a church is supposed to be. And he shared with me in that life group who it was. They have a man from Mexico, they're a man from Mexico, that 21 years old, turned his life over to Christ. Another young individual from Central America. And they even have a Muslim that came to Christ through that, from young to old. And it's just an awesome experience. So, it's our custom here at Pleasant View to invite you to be a part of that. If you haven't made a decision to be with Christ, and today is the day that you need to do that, come up after the service or during the service and reach out to either John or Chris or Al or myself. Or if you're burdened with something that's just heavy on your heart, let us help. Well, let us do that. Young ones, you're not off the hook, because next week, come back, Stephen preaches. Your responsibility as youth to leave your legacy. So what an awesome day this has been. So before we close the service, we would like Tammy to come forward right now. we'd like for you as a church to join us.
Just real quick, with Tammy, she's been through all the chemo treatments. The tumor shrunk a bunch, but there's still a little bit left. She has to have surgery this week to get that part out, and that's where we're running today. Just encourage her during this time and be there for her.
I'd like to say it was Nikki and Twitter. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we just pray for this dear little sister of ours. We pray, Father, that you continue to guide the hands of the servants. We pray that you remove everything that is giving them flowers. Father, we know you are the healer of all healers, and we look to you to do that. We know you use men in various ways, Lord. We look to you to give them the wisdom and knowledge to remove everything that needs to be gone from Tammy's body. Father, as a group and as a church, we just pour out our love on her and let her know that we truly love her and we're behind her and we're backing her. And we know most of all, Lord, you will be there too. Father, we thank you for being the dedicated Father that you are. We thank you, Lord, for healing those in the past. We thank you, Father, for your healing hands and even the scriptures. But when it comes to these big moments, Lord, we truly ask that your presence on this morning. Father, we just give Tammy to you and we know that she has full confidence in you. We know that she knows your things we need. So it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.